What's good, everyone? My name is Jacob Moses, community builder at Strongtowns, and welcome to It's the Little Things, a Strongtowns podcast where in each episode, we focus on a different action that you, the concerned citizen, the elected official, the city planner, can take to make your town stronger. This episode's action, connecting with your community on foot. Think about the places in which you feel the greatest connection. Maybe it's your downtown where you achieve the day's needs and take your visiting friends. Or maybe it's your street where you mingle with neighbors and your children run about. Whether it's our downtowns or our streets, the process in which we became connected to these places likely has a similar origin. We walked. We got out of our homes, out of our cars, and connected with the environment around us, the sidewalk beneath our feet, the flower beds at the end of the block, or most important, the people doing the same. In this episode, I chat with Dustin Ratcliffe, founding member of Walk to Connect, an innovative worker-owned cooperative working to create whole health walking programs focused on, as the name suggests, connecting to others, to the places we live, and to ourselves. Dustin shares how you can connect with your community on foot, including how to motivate your neighbors to form a walking group, how to use your walking group to influence how your city or town is developed, and most important, how connecting with your community on foot makes our cities and towns stronger. Enjoy. Good, Dustin. How are you today?
Hey, I'm well, Jacob. How are you?
I'm doing good. Doing good. How's life in Denver, Colorado?
It is great. It's the sun is shining. There's a lot happening in Denver. But good, yeah, it's good. It's really good.
I wish I could say the same weather-wise here in Denton, Texas. We have a very rainy day today, and of course not ideal for my traditional post-work walk, but I think after this podcast I'll be inspired to knock it out regardless.
Gotta get out no matter what the weather, you know?
Yes, sir. Well, Dustin, man, so happy to have you on the podcast today. We have a great action to cover, and that is connecting with your community on foot. And this is a mission that you and your team over at Walk to Connect are pursuing, an organization that, golly, I've been a fan of for several years now, going back to when I was rocking that Boulder, Colorado life. You guys are really doing some great work, and look forward to sharing your perspective with listeners today.
Yeah, thanks so much. I'm excited. I appreciate the invite, and excited to talk about it.
Yes, sir. So, Dustin, to get us started, I'd love to start with talking about the Walk to Connect origin story. Where did this whole idea come from to start this organization?
So a good buddy of mine from high school, we lost touch a little bit after high school, as people do. And I was living in Chicago at the time, and was just kind of breezing through the channels and stopped on a like some big national news station or something. And I saw Colorado Man Walks Across America, and it said Lakewood, Jonathan Stalls. And I was like, wait, what?
Homie Jonathan?
Yeah, exactly. So it totally caught me by surprise. And then I started like digging into it and realized he was doing like a really awesome job kind of, capturing his story and documenting this trip. And so in 2010, he left the coast of Delaware, and it took him 8.5 months to walk to San Francisco. He didn't have a whole lot planned. He was kind of planning a lot as he went, and just really this kind of internal call was just calling to him to walk across the country. And what he found was that he stayed with, and forgive me, I forget the exact numbers, but it was something like 165 strangers, something like that. And what was happening is, as he was kind of going through rural America and through some of these smaller towns and even the bigger towns, people would always, ask, are you okay? What are you doing? And then he would, follow quickly with, I'm walking across America, which would usually beg the question, why? Why would you do something like this when you have a car? And so what he realized is that it really humanized this experience. When he was meeting other people, the connection to them that despite age, race, political affiliation, sex, sexual orientation, all of these things that we see as barriers, that these simple hellos started a conversation that really followed with somebody inviting them to their home, inviting him to their home for dinner. And then it turned into, why don't you stay with us tonight? And then it turned into, well, I'm going to call ahead to the next town because I have a brother that lives there, or I have a friend that lives there. And this kind of progressed all the way throughout. So you know, he made a lot of these really amazing connections to the point where, again, I forget the exact number, but I think it was somewhere in the 70s, 78 or something like that. But people that were kind of communicating behind his back that surprised him, on the beach in San Francisco when he got to his destination. And these are all people that, you know, he met along his trip. So, that was obviously like very emotional for him. Yeah. And what he really, you know, the big takeaway from it was what is now in the name of Walk to Connect. And it is connect, it's connections. So, you know, connecting to our country, to the people in these towns that make up our country, to the land, to the communities, to the environment, and to himself, and all doing it by a mode of transportation that we were intrinsically built for. And that's walking. That's the most simple form of transportation that we are all meant to walk. And it was something that was just so loud to him that when he came back, kind of being thrown back into the quote unquote real world of, you know, being confined in our walls, it was hard for him. And so he wanted to kind of just start, you know, a way to get people out and kind of join him on some of these walks and kind of recreate some of those stories that he had from his cross country trip. And there's a lot more details that go into it, but he wanted to start these walking groups. And so he started publicizing and promoting, come join me for this, you know, 26 mile walk. And of course nobody showed up because that's quite a ways. And so he just kept kind of backing that down. And then a couple people showed up. Yeah. And then a couple more people showed up. And then, he trained somebody to lead their own walk. And then, as this started to grow, he grabbed myself and a couple other people, to kind of bring us into the business model of this as seeing this as a viable business. And so we decided to make it a co-op, which is, so a cooperative is a business structure that is owned by its members. So, we have these connection focused walks and walking experiences all over the country. We're in six states and in London, England. And it really started from Jonathan's walk and that vision to kind of see these connected communities and community building and how this can all be possible by bringing people together and going for a walk.
Yep. Oh, I love it, Dustin. And I imagine as you're talking about how Jonathan encountered all these different strangers while he was on foot and how that mode of transit broke down any barriers of conversation, imagine a lot of listeners are nodding their heads. I know I am. I can count dozens of times that because I chose to walk, a stranger said, bless you, when I sneezed, or I met a friend on my way to downtown, all sorts of good stuff that happens when you choose to walk. So Dustin, Jonathan knocks out this walk. He started in Delaware, ended up in San Francisco. I imagine he was feeling such inspiration and so motivated to share this idea with the world. You know, he could have maybe started a blog or started a, you know, some kind of YouTube channel. But why did he choose the cooperative approach? Why did he feel that was the most powerful way to really share this vision of why we should be on foot to explore our neighborhoods?
Yeah, well, and I am certainly grateful, and I know so many people in our community are, to his vision and to his, you know, him kind of bringing people in, we had this think tank discussion of, there was maybe 8 or 9 of us, you know, different community members, and we were all in this kind of conference room. And he said, you know, I don't want this to be a, you know, a standard LLC anymore. I want something that is really significant and represents community. So we kind of dug into all these different structures and realized that the cooperative model was a really kind of relevant and a model that really spoke to the mission and to the goals of Walk to Connect, and because it is experiential. You know, it is, like you said, it is one thing to write a book. It is one thing to write a blog and you know, do some public speaking, which he's done. But it's entirely another to get people out of their boxes, out of our houses, out of our cars, and to really experience it. We hashtag it. We have this kind of little hashtag at Walk to Connect, and it's life at 3 miles per hour. So, you know, it really comes down to, you can't experience something in a car that you would otherwise by foot. When we are experiencing the world at 30, 40, 50, or 60 miles an hour, there is just so much about the surrounding environment around us that is lost. And at one point, a few years ago, we kind of put out a little bit of a challenge to people and said, draw, you know, we kind of coached them on how to do this on a map, where you could basically draw like a 1 mile radius around a place of origin, whether that be your home or your work. And we challenge people to just walk around. If you're going to go somewhere within that 1 mile or 2 mile radius, try to just walk and then share with us what, you know, what are some of the findings. Yeah. And, you know, some of the stories that were coming back was really cool. It was like, you know, I met somebody that was from my town in Iowa this week. I didn't even know they lived on my block. And I've lived in this neighborhood for 7 years. I didn't even know that deli existed. It's delicious. Like, you know, so it was just really, again, rooted into the word connect. And it was allowing people to connect to their neighborhoods and to their surroundings. And so I think it's really rooted in that experiential just act of getting out and connecting with others and our environments by foot.
Yes, Dustin, that comment on, you know, walking within a mile of any particular destination reminds me of an episode previously in the podcast we did with Alyssa Walker, the editor at Curbed, and she called that her walking shed. So try to envision yourself, if you can, like just getting the day's needs within your walking shed. And just like what you said, you may find out, oh, there's like a super dope lunch spot where I live. Or in my example, and when I've put that to the test, it's, oh, I can get toilet paper at my corner store. Like I didn't know that before. Right. So when it's much more methodical and purposeful, all sorts of little surprises to be discovered.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's cool. That's great. I love that. I haven't heard that term before. I love that.
Yeah. So Dustin, with y'all's experience of motivating groups of people to walk together, for the listener who is nodding their head along as you're describing all the benefits of walking and wants to do something similar where they live, what strategies have you noticed help a listener can spread that message and start to build this tribe of people who want to start exploring their community on foot?
Yeah. You know, and I will say at any point, I mean, people can certainly reach out to us and connect with us on, you know, deeper ideas to go into it a little more. But, you know, I would say to start it, you know, we have a walking movement leader training. So we have a lot of walking movement leaders that you know, started for various different reasons. They, you know, many of them have heard about Walk to Connect. Many of them haven't. But kind of, you know, their entry point is always a little bit different. But, you know, how someone would, it really comes down to what I think is something that somebody cares about. And the reason I brought up our walking movement leaders is in our training, we ask people, what is it that you care about? What do you care about? And how can we creatively help apply walking to something that you care about? And that could be a hobby. That could be a particular issue that's happening in your neighborhood or in your community. It could be something that's an escapism for you, a very sacred or special place. A lot of people, it's just simply for health, right?
Yeah.
So I would say that it really depends on the individual of really thinking about what do you care about? And so, for example, we have people that really care about art and public art. So they kind of developed routes or different areas in their communities where there's all different sorts of art installations to look at. So they kind of create these art walks. We've had people that are really into nature, into bird watching. And so they, they kind of create a little conversation with folks about, hey, do you want to come on a walk and look at some birds? And so I think a lot of that just kind of is personal. It kind of roots into what do you care about or what's important to you. But then again, on the other side, if you want to just walk more in your community, it is something that can be personal. It is something about, kind of learning a little bit more about public transit, learning a little bit more about how to stay, connected by foot and rather than in our cars.
Dustin, that's so interesting. And it makes it so accessible too. And I wasn't aware that when you're talking about the walking training program, that starts with the person's interests. Because as a fellow walker myself, I can totally relate to that where, I don't have a Fitbit. I don't have a smartwatch. I'm not really trying to count steps when it comes to walking. I'm more interested in seeing, what's in my neighborhood? Are there some local breweries nearby? What kind of local businesses can I stop at? So that's so interesting that we're able to kind of tailor the shared interest in walking to the person's own personal interests. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting you brought that up because we have a couple happy hour walks that on a Friday afternoon we do a 2 to 3 mile walk and we start and finish at a neighborhood brewery.
Cool.
And then we partner with that brewery to get some discounts on a beer or food or something like that.
Yeah,
we do that a lot with coffee shops. We go in and ask the owners of a coffee shop. Or a library. Hey, do you mind if we're going to be bringing a group of somewhat of 8 to 20 people? Is it okay if we start here? Is it okay if maybe you offer like a 20% discount to our group for a cup of coffee? And then it creates, again, it just kind of creates a deeper fabric of community and now builds a relationship and some loyalty between, between the business owner and now a new customer, a new patron. And it just is a little bit, just goes a little bit deeper to again kind of connect the fabric, and connect people to something that they care about that others probably care about too. And we have an example of a community in Maryland. This little old woman, she said, when we were going around the little training table, what do you care about? She said, I like to knit. And I said, that's cool. I was like, let's start a knitting walk. And she said, that sounds dangerous. And so, but we talked through it. And so now she has what she calls Stitches with Steps. And so a group of knitters, they meet at a park and they walk for about a quarter a mile or half a mile. And then they sit at a park bench and they knit together. And then they walk another half a mile and they sit at another picnic table. And they, she's kind of gotten better at scouting her routes, which we kind of coach people on how to scout a route that, incorporates things that you want to see or that you want to do. Mm-hmm. And now she's got Stitches with Steps and a regular walking group or, around something that she really cares about.
And who knows, these fellow knitters might be hanging out in the park and a stranger walks by, chooses to jump in and start knitting themselves. That's wonderful, yeah. Dustin.
Yeah. I was on a walk this morning. We in a suburb of Denver, it's called Littleton. We have these two amazing leaders. They just started their Littleton walk, and this was the first time I was able to attend it. So I went out and there was 12 people that showed up this morning, and I would say we probably had 10 people stop us along the way. What are you doing? What is this? How do I get involved? And so now, there's a couple of them just joined us and kind of finished the walk with us. And now there are more people that are you know, connected to this group, which is cool.
That's awesome, Dustin. So Dustin, thinking back on people's different interests that motivate them to walk, a common one that we see at Strongtowns, of course, is, you know, just promoting the walkability of places, you know, like we want to be able to have downtowns and neighborhood centers where it's easy to walk from shop to shop. For the listener who wants to start a walking group focused on that interest, making their own downtown walkable, how do you think listeners can use these groups to influence their elected officials to make their downtowns more walkable?
Yeah, that's something that we focus on a lot. And again, it starts with somebody who has a bit of a passion. And, you know, in so many neighborhoods and so many towns, the walkability isn't great. The infrastructure and the built environment that when it was created, it left out the pedestrian experience in so many ways. And the reality is that there are many people that don't have a choice but to walk. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I and we feel that there is a social responsibility, that we are being mindful of the built environment and that we're making sure that there's proper sidewalks so people aren't having to walk in the street, and that there's proper crosswalks and, you know, a lot of those things, that there's, you know, real high traffic speeds when there's a lot of pedestrians around. That is just a recipe for disaster. So, you know, kind of getting on people's radar that this built environment, yes, there are walking groups. There are people that like to walk in this, and you know, in this urban environment, and to kind of make a statement. But there's a lot of folks that don't have a choice but to do that. And yeah. So, you know, we find we do a lot of outreach to elected officials, a lot of outreach to the mayor's office, the county commissioners, the transportation engineers, the local councilman or councilwoman, neighborhood associations, folks like that, that have a little bit of influence in this decision-making process. And we invite them out on a walk. And I say we as, you know, kind of Walk to Connect, but really there are so many individuals within our organization that decide to do that themselves. We have people that say our neighborhood is not equipped for people to walk. It is not safe for our children to be walking. And then they take an initiative. And if they, you know, need some resources from us or some help and assistance in who to contact and how to do that, we certainly can. And one of the best examples was there's a fairly dangerous intersection in Denver, Colfax and Sheridan. And we took some elected officials and we took some people out. And there is this woman who's pushing her stroller on this kind of 30 to 45 degree angle on this little side of the road, dirt path, because there wasn't a sidewalk and that was the only way she could get to and from the bus stop. And there she's trying not to fall into the street. And, you know, when they saw that and you put optics to it and you are in that situation, there's a deeper body knowledge that we talk about a lot that is a lot different than hear about it on the radio or even on TV or hearing about it as it comes across your desk. But when you're out there and you're feeling it in your body and you're feeling the weather and you're feeling the cars zipping by and the unrest of, you know, all the things happening and swirling around in that immediate environment, it changes things and it gives people a different perspective, which we think is really important.
It is, man. And just thinking about how to really connect with our elected officials, I imagine it's far more powerful than just sending over a link or a picture of this person that you took on your iPhone, as opposed to, hey, here's a dozen, half dozen of your constituents who care about making this more walkable place. Come join us. Come make humble observations with us. And in this instance, y'all noticed someone along Colfax and Sheridan. And man, I commend you guys for the work you guys are doing. It's wonderful.
Well, and it's really relational too. You know, we really root into relationship and, you know, having these conversations that don't necessarily have to, you know, be rooted in tension and, you know, really rooting into relationship. And, And, you know, that's a key staple of how we do, you know, all of our route outreach, whether that be a potential partner or it's trying to bring awareness to a certain situation, is that we really try to stay relational, which we think seems to help.
I love it. Well, Dustin, man, thanks so much for sharing your wisdom with us. To wrap up the podcast, and this is the question we end every podcast with, how does this particular action, connecting with your community on foot, help make our cities and towns stronger?
Yeah, I'll try and keep it short because I can go on forever about this. But I think for so many ways, relationship, community, I think it's such a, the more eyes and feet we have on the streets, the more apt we are to get to know our neighbors and our surrounding neighbors, and that despite difference, we can celebrate difference. We are more aware of what's happening in our communities. We are more connected to the environment. I think there is a lot to be said about how walking and moving around by foot throughout our communities will change the perspective of how we would otherwise see it. And I think it opens our eyes to a lot of maybe potential issues or potential problems or potential, might give us some thoughts on solutions that we wouldn't have otherwise seen or make us kind of aware of something that we didn't even know was a problem, because we are able to see it in real time as we're moving around by foot. And I think that gives people motivation. I think that gives people, just a better connection, and a true connection to where we live, to place.
Beautiful. Well, Dustin, if people want to connect with you, learn more about what's going down with Walk to Connect online, where can people link up with y'all?
Thanks so much. It's just www.walktoconnect.com is the best way. And we're also on Facebook, and we are in 6 states, as I mentioned: Colorado, awesome. New Mexico, Alaska, Maryland, Hawaii, and we are being invited to come to Florida and start some communities in the Miami area at the end of this month. So we're also in London, England. So if there's people in those areas, love to have them come and join a walk with us. And if not, they can always start one.
Yes. And they can do that through the website as well.
It'd be just a really good entry point to reach out to us. And we can certainly talk to them more about next steps.
Very good. Well, Dustin, man, I appreciate it so much. Thanks for sharing your wisdom with us, and we will chat very soon.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it. Thanks, Jacob.
Thank you, Dustin. Talk soon.
Okay.
Thanks so much for listening, everyone. If you're enjoying the content, please subscribe to It's the Little Things on iTunes, and we will chat next week. See ya.